With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a podcast from the Smart Material Collective, made by nerds, funded by the listeners.
And just to remind everyone, on the 30th of May, we will be at the Royal Institution with Angela Siney talking about her new book, Superior, which is about the return of race science. I'm about half of the way through the book and it is absolutely incredible. The book launches on the 30th of May, the day of our event. So get your pre-orders in if you want to get it as soon as it launches.
And like me and Sahel will sign them if you want.
We'll all sign them.
Yeah. We'll all sign these books. It'll be great. Ozzy, do you want to sign some books?
I'll just put a photograph in there. Yeah, that's what people need, right?
I'm just
people
want this face. A lonesome Jaffa cake in there. Just let it melt.
Also, has anyone like noticed a few people on Twitter are saying they're going to show up with t-shirts that have a picture of my face on them?
That is not weird at all.
And creepy and weird.
They want to wear your skin. It's so beautiful and mixed race.
Your skin would make an excellent lampshade.
And end.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? I'm your host, Oz Ismail, an anxious PhD student in dementia, and have also ousted your regular host, Alex Lapbridge, because he dragged me in the last episode. In the studio with me today is creative producer, amazing science human, Hannah Ayoub, who is also very pedantic about the different types of chocolate egg.
Well, I'm sorry, Oz, but cream eggs and mini eggs are not the same thing.
They're all the same to me because they're all disgusting.
So we found out today that Oz doesn't like Cadbury's chocolate, which, like, I'm still reeling from this.
You reel in that corner while I introduce our other amazing host, Suhail Patel.
Oh,
journalist, okay. Maker of cool videos, bandit of Jaffa Cakes.
It's true.
What's a Jaffa Cake bandit?
Suhail.
If you don't understand that, then... That is sad. I feel sad.
I don't like Jaffa Cakes. Orange and chocolate does not go together.
Well, you know, people have opinions.
Clearly.
And they can be shit sometimes.
And I was going to say, and that is what this podcast is about, but it's not.
It's about science, motherfuckers.
It's honestly not about chocolate.
I'm also joined by our regular host, Alex Lapbridge. He is here in the naughty corner.
Yeah, so I'm just producing today. So, yeah.
Shut up! You know, secretly spoke
just
to.
Just don't neg people, Alex.
I like how you still set up a mic for yourself, though, because
he
you
has
can't
so much to
resist.
Say.
He just wants to breathe into the mic heavily, like creepily. Like.
And that brings us to the topic of today's show.
No. I had three mic channels set up, and you were there, like, oh, yeah, no, you should still have one. You contribute stuff in any way. So I'm like, oh, okay. I will do that.
We want you. All three of you
can shut the fuck up.
No. We want
I'm
you,
going
you.
To.
Don't cry, Alex. It's fine. We love you.
So how's everyone doing? What's been going on? Tell me.
It's good. I had a carrot cake just now. It's pretty nice.
I'm sure that you've done more with your life since I last seen
you. I mean, that's the thing I remember. So that says a lot, right?
It did look like a good carrot cake, although it did have nuts in it and it was therefore poisonous to me.
Sad times.
Regular listeners will know that Hannah can be killed by most things in the world.
But that is
a medical marvel that here
except
she is sitting down perfectly
cream
healthy.
Eggs.
Yes, very, very thankfully I'm not allergic to cream
eggs. She has
eggs.
A whole box full of them.
Although I hated cream eggs as a child, and like now they're like one of my favourite things as an adult.
That's such a good analogy for life. It's like, because there's a lot of things I hated as a child that I also, no, I still hate them, to be fair.
It's just Hannah's childhood
well done
rebellion.
For consistency.
Your rebellion was cream eggs.
Yep. Yeah, teetotal, but cream eggs I'll go for.
Cream eggs. Creamy goodness.
I'm in the process of moving house, which is so much fun. Not.
Yeah, I get, no, I know. Moving house is difficult.
So that's where all your bruises are from, and not because you got in a fight with.
No, I've also got a really impressive, like, cut surrounded by a bruise on my leg.
Wow.
Which I managed to get through a pair of jeans.
Oh.
What are you moving? Are you, have you got like some fucking...
I was moving a trunk.
Torture devices.
Are you moving a zoo?
It's like,
yes. Yes, I would like to announce that I am opening my own zoo.
That would not surprise me.
Fun. Oh, I was at the zoo,
ooh,
actually.
Me recently. Too!
I was at the London Zoo. We did a story about newts and fungus.
Ooh, I saw that story.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, there's some serious fungal shit going down.
With newts.
And have you seen Ned's Newt? That's a great program because I interviewed loads of people about newts, and to every person, I was like, yo, have you seen Ned's Newt? And it's some professor dude.
What
and he
is
was
Ned's
like, no.
Newt?
I haven't seen Ned's Newt.
What is, does anyone know?
Oh, my. Guys, if you've listened.
Producer, I have seen Ned's Newt.
Ned's Newt, yes. You're the only person. Yes. I asked like 8 people that day, have you seen Ned's Newt? And none of them have seen it. That's bare sad.
Hmm.
It's a great program.
Okay. I will make notes.
It's really good.
If you do my research next time.
If you've seen Ned's Newt, please tweet us.
Right.
Let us know.
I spent an afternoon drawing at the zoo this week. It was amazing.
That's where really your cuts and bruises from.
Yes. I climbed into the animal enclosures to draw them.
Which is something you must never do, listeners.
What zoo was it, Anna?
London Zoo.
Oh, sick. Yeah. I know the secret way in around the back now, so we could just sneak in wherever we want. Oh, shit. You probably shouldn't say that.
No, that's not stuff you should say. All right, let's let Alex talk now because you guys are revealing too much.
I am still writing my thesis.
Well, at least you've started writing it. I'm just staring at a blank page going, words. What are words?
So, yeah, apart from eating carrot cakes, I've also been on a few dates. Rhymes. Nice.
I went on some dates.
I've been on some dates and it is time consuming, damn it.
Oh my god, yes.
It's like, yo, I've got enough free time. I'm like,
how many dates are you going on?
I went on 3 in 1 week.
Wow.
Why? Yeah.
What a player.
Yeah, it's not a player. It's just like, you know, it just happened.
It just happened. People just want to date me all
the
time.
As close as I get to 30, the more matches I get. And I think it's because people are fucking desperate.
Wow. That's bleak.
It's pretty sad. So I'm on a dating app called Hinge right now.
Okay.
Which is all the rage apparently.
Is it?
A lot of people rate, and I rate it too actually, because I've actually got quite a few dates out of it. But the app works like it's kind of like a mini little profile. So you have a few pictures and you ask a few questions about yourself that you answer, and then people can react to the questions or the pictures. And then you just match like that. So it's quite cool. It's good. And apparently the algorithms are quite good on it.
My Indian mother is very happy that I'm on a dating site. My father thinks that this will mean I will find someone exactly like me, which is intriguing.
Asian parents, well, man, these motherfuckers trying to be rich doing me, like, you know what I mean? And I'll be like, nah, cuz I ain't about to rich that. Now I'm like,
sorry,
maybe.
So what the fuck are you talking about?
They're giving up on me basically. So I'm a free agent.
So no one's trying to set you up like with someone that they know, like, you know,
no one wants to inflict that on me.
I know you guys do that whole arranged thing, right? No?
Yeah.
Is that not still a thing? No.
Look, if anyone out there wants to set me up with someone, that's cool. But if it's my parents, hell nah.
What's the hell said?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like this, so you're talking about Hinge, which is not an app that I'd really heard of. And there's so many, to me, I feel like there's so many apps. Mm. And it's kind of, if you're in the same region of like geographical region, aren't you getting the same people on all the apps, but on like with different information and different pictures?
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised. I mean, London's a huge city. There's so many people that you just, you... Hannah's looking at me like, what?
Sorry, I just, like, I'm having the opposite, like,
what do you
experience
mean?
In that, like, my people. Profile is set to, like, the whole of London.
Yeah.
And I have had two separate work contacts pop up on there.
Okay.
A university, yeah. like, person I went to uni with, and someone who has a friend of mine in one of their photos.
Did you match with any of them?
No.
Why not?
Because it really freaks me out.
Why? That's in for me.
I've also had someone get in touch with me who's seen me at a gig, and someone get in touch and not mention they follow me on Twitter.
Wow. That's
wow. Which I'm, yeah.
I think the verdict is you're just too famous.
I'm too famous.
You're in high
demand. London is way too small.
It's too big.
I think the app actually, what it does is it actually tends to favor people in your network. So it will actually link you up with people who you have mutual friends with, or, like, you know, you have some type of connection with. And in that way, I suppose, is to make it them seem more real. Like, do you know what I mean? If they're a friend of a friend or something.
I guess, like, I'm using OkCupid as well, which is an app where you can answer, like, up to something like 2,000 questions that go into a match score. And I guess there are a lot of those questions I'm answering around things like atheism, skepticism, your attitudes to science, your attitudes to politics, that are gonna tend to match with people who move in similar circles to me, especially given that I work in a really, like, sociable sector.
Exactly. Yeah. I totally get you. I mean, what are your, how are you find? Because you're on Hinge as well, right?
No, I haven't. I've been meaning to try Hinge because I really like. Yeah. This sounds stupid, but I really like their marketing campaign. Like, there is something about, like, designed to be deleted that sets it apart from a lot of the other, like primarily app based dating platforms.
It's interesting how so I find that curious when these platforms, first of all, the way these platforms have changed the way we meet people, right? Especially I guess the way our generation, the way we're meeting people is all tech based. We're using our phones for everything, including the way we meet our partners, right?
It's true. Yeah. I think there's an element of that where, and I found that from dating, where it's a lot of text communication, and that is convenient in a lot of ways, but I also find it, I find it actually makes the process a bit more difficult for a number of reasons. And one of them is the fact that via text communication, it's hard to get to know someone. You know, you don't get the nuances of their personality, of who they are. There's stuff like, you know, when you're having a conversation with someone face to face, it's a lot easier to kind of get who, like, understand them and whether you guys are going to get along. And so, you know, I found there's some pitfalls with online dating. It's not all good.
No, the other thing I was going to say was what we were talking about, these guarantees that some platforms give you. What I find interesting is what that's based on, right? A lot of it's based on, like, these algorithms they're writing to allegedly match you to the right person. For example, one of the oldest platforms that's now still around is match.com. like, they have, like, some kind of match guarantee. I've never used it myself, but
I've heard Match is not the best, to be honest.
I've heard Match is very, like, I want to get married right now driven.
Okay, so there's that. They give you this guarantee, but then also behind the scenes, all these platforms are working, like, a lot of them use algorithms, right?
Which to try and understand you and the person you're dating with.
Okay.
So there's an interesting thing on that. I was chatting to a senior data scientist on one of the platforms. I can't mention their name or the platform. But they were saying that all they can ultimately do is get two people in a room together, you know, who are probably going to get on. And they were actually sort of holding their hands up and saying, like, no amount of algorithms is going to tell whether two people are actually compatible, like, and whether they're going to end up in a relationship. It is just get them offline.
Exactly. You know,
as soon as possible, preferably.
I totally get that. And this is why when I match with someone, we were discussing this before, when I match with someone, it's all about getting the face-to-face, because, all right, you're matching me, you like my photos, we clearly have something a bit in common. The algorithm has led us here to this point, so let's just rip that band-aid off and, you know, let's see if it works. But, you know, and I think that works for me, and I've been doing that for a while. But I mean, you know, you mentioned before there's some issues around meeting people straight away, isn't there? Because, like, ultimately, strangers, these people, aren't they?
And I think especially in straight dating, there's a lot of evidence that women are more risk averse. You know, a woman, like a straight woman's biggest fear whilst dating is that she's going to end up being killed. Like, essentially, that is the worst fear. You know, a guy who's looking for women, their worst fear is apparently that the woman's going to be fatter than she looks in her profile. And like, I mean, those two things are, you know, light years apart from each other when you actually think about the like impact.
That's a bonus for me, mate.
Is this more like yay surprise?
It's more to love. It's
but so these people did an interesting social experiment where they had a man and a woman who had profiles where they appeared quite slim, and then they used cosmetics and a fat suit when they went on dates with people of the opposite sex. And like, the reactions are like absolutely stunning. So like, all the men reacted to the women in a fat suit with like hostility. One went to the bathroom and left. Another one was like, I wasted gas to get here. Someone else is like, you lied to me. The man had a very different thing, which is like, all the women sort of commented on it. Like, you know, they were like, okay, you know, you don't quite look like your photos. But like, I think three of them were like keen to meet again. And like, he actually got a kiss from one of them. And it's just like, yeah, no hostility. Interesting difference.
That is an interesting difference. And while you were saying that, Hannah, I was thinking about the same issue amongst like gay men dating as well. And another thing, aside from like racist stuff that gets put on, is like mask for mask. Like, people, guys who perceive themselves to be very masculine and only want to date people who are you know, socially seen as masculine. And there's a lot of femme shaming, so shaming people for, you know, either being camp or either being a bit feminine, because they just don't perceive that to be the correct kind of person for them. And just, again, it feeds into like people feeling like they're not correct or not right. And that's like us within our community doing that to each other is a huge problem. And same with body stuff. Like, gay men are under huge pressure because to look a certain way, right? And then there's a lot of body shaming that goes on because of that. And as a result, people then suffer mental health issues, diet issues. Like, it is a problem. And again, this is apps feed this, right?
By allowing you to select,
by allowing people to say stuff like that. You would never say that to someone to their face, you know?
You might just not approach.
The thing is all with this body shaming and all that type of stuff, it's like, I'm not perfect as a person, you know. I'm not
what
as in but you know what I mean, it's like people who have all these high prerequisites for what they want, it's like, you know, I feel like actually I want someone who's not who's a bit like me, so, you know, because I'm not going to be insecure in the relationship. And you know, I feel like people who do set those kind of beauty and unachievable beauty standards for others and themselves, you know, put themselves under extreme amount of pressure unnecessarily. We're all going to lose our beauty to a degree over time. So, you know, I don't think it should be a priority for when you're looking for a partner.
You know, I think most women my age are aware that if anything does happen to you, you're probably going to be blamed for it, for being on a platform in the first place.
I think, I think there's a lot of things to worry about with online dating in that sense, in terms of safety and things like that. But I think as long as you can verify who the person is, ultimately there's always an element of danger in whatever you do. And even if you're talking to someone for like 2-3 weeks beforehand, you know, it doesn't make it any less likely that they're going to be a weirdo, to be honest.
Yeah. I think for me, it's more like 2-3 days. Like, I'm not going to leave it 2-3 weeks. It feels like a complete waste of time. But I also want to exchange a couple of messages and get a feel for the person.
That's probably why no one replies to me half the time.
we were saying this earlier. Like, if I get a first message that is like, let's meet up, I ignore it.
But you know what it is? I'm a busy man, right? I know it doesn't seem like it, but, you know, there's a lot of cake to eat in the world. But it's like, I don't have time to be like, hey, do you like shoes?
But everyone's busy. Everyone's busy. And
I think the problem is that message.
I'm just saying, it's like really bland.
Shoes, not the best intro. But everyone's busy. And if you're getting yes, messaging takes time, but meeting up takes even more time.
It's true.
So like, I would much rather exchange a few messages with someone over a couple of days alongside my life rather than meet up immediately with no idea whether we're going to get on.
Okay, I love that.
So there is the time efficiency of like the online dating and these platforms. Yeah. This tech has given us the ability to be more efficient with the way we're using our time, right?
Arguably.
Okay. Thanks for letting me finish my point.
Sorry, okay, carry on. carry on, I apologize.
I like how we're all somehow like channeling a bit of Alex today.
it's like Alex's spirit lives within us all. It's like the internet.
So, like the time efficiency of it is one thing, but also it's also given people the ability to engage with other people if, say, you're not like very extroverted or you're a little bit shy, and you can then start to talk to people and also get to know them a little bit. And it's in some ways slightly better to have like Hannah said, have a few chats with them to get to know who they are and understand if they're real and you're not being catfished, one thing, before you then spend your time on a date with this person. And also then on the other hand, right, if you're, say, in terms of like LGBT people, there's so many other issues with that, right? It's either you're not out or you're scared that you're going to get attacked and stuff like that. And so if you think about it, really, it was not easy. I mean, now it's becoming easier and easier for LGBT people, but still there's a lot of problems around it.
Yeah.
But say even the 90s to early noughties, when like gay relationships were legally recognized, right? Up until that point, there was hostility towards gay people getting together, right? And these platforms gave people an opportunity to meet a little bit more like secretively and safely before they actually went out.
Gave them a safe space to express, you know, and cook up, basically,
Right, but it's also like the ability to meet other gay people. Like I remember when I came out, the first platform I used was Gaydar, right? I don't know if many people are using Gaydar anymore, but that was the big main platform for gay people to meet, and it was launched in like the 90s, right? And
did you ever get catfished?
I mean, that's like, you learn a lot very quickly by going online. It's like, okay, there are all these positives about meeting people, like not wanting to
meet. I love getting catfished. It's like a surprise, isn't it? I love surprises.
Do you? Oh my god,
I'm dead.
I feel like the word surprise needs
can
to be
can we go
redefined.
Back to what I was it's saying like, about risk aversion and fear.
It's like surprise.
I don't,
it's a 40-year-old man there, say like, yo,
that's not
unexpected.
I don't think that's the kind of surprise people want. So hell, I feel like
you
need to know this.
Fuck people, who knows what they want anyway. Carry on, but you're making a point, sorry.
But, okay, so like the internet and technology has facilitated a lot of these things. It's given people the ability to meet other people like who are also gay, who might not be out. And then platforms like Grindr launched in the late noughties. And that, because that was, and the interesting is because they went straight to the app rather than do it as a website-based thing, around the same time that iPhones were taking off, it like took over and Gaydar like just kind of filtered
perfect
out in the background.
Storm.
Yeah. So, and it also, they were very clever in the way they did it, in that they did it by, you could literally see who was very near you geographically, like by like distance. And so it gave people a clearer,
it made
like
it easier. It facilitated the process, you know, where you, in the past you'd be like ASL. Right, you know.
Right, I remember ASL.
And you'd be like, "What?
MSN Messenger, baby."
Hey, that was the dream, man. That's a bit of sweet memories for me.
Yeah, anyway. God, ASL is taking me back.
Now it's just
I'm just gonna cry in the corner quietly while
join,
I remember.
Join Alex in the quiet
sad
corner.
Times.
There's something interesting about like physical proximity, like in terms of where you live, is actually one of the predictors for how likely two people are to end up in a relationship. And what's interesting is that was true before online dating and has continued to be a thing now as well.
It's true. It's like takeaways, isn't it? It's like
are you comparing women to takeaways?
No, not women. I'm saying dating. I'm really digging myself.
No, I want to hear this analogy.
It's like, yeah, you get fried chicken from like, you know.
Almost-
All right, but the thing, so here's the thing about these apps that are then selecting who you're going to meet based on location or radius, right? It's now giving you this notion that there is an endless supply of potential partners, right? If one date doesn't work out, you can quickly get onto another one. And that is then negatively impacting the way that we meet people and we engage with people, because you're too distracted because you think something else is in the back burner that you can then quickly jump onto. I think it was last April, there was this this gay scientist, his name is Jack Turban. He wrote a really nice piece about some research that he went on Grindr and did. He just took some surveys of users of Grindr, and he talks about how like these apps, based on his experiences and the small number of surveys he carried out, can contribute to this psychological concept called variable ratio reinforcement. So this is a concept where it's like a reward-based behavior. You click for a reward, and sometimes you get it straight away. It's been done on rodents. Sometimes you do it get the rodent gets a reward straight away. Mm. Sometimes they have to click like five times before they get like a treat.
Mm. And so you're looking for that hit, basically.
You're looking for that hit, but you don't learn that it's coming after. There's no pattern in how when you get the reward. You just become addicted to that. So you constantly scroll. And it applies to all platforms, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah. You're constantly scrolling.
It's been shown that we literally get an endorphin hit when we see a like pop up on Instagram or Twitter. Mm-hmm.
It's like a self-affirming thing. Yeah, you get a like, then you're like, oh man, somebody, you know what I mean? It's appealing to your insecurities, isn't it?
And exactly. Yeah, it's like a slot machine type behavior where you just keep going and you keep gambling until you get the big hit because you think it's going to come. But you don't know when it's going to come.
I think a lot of people, you know, are more conscious of this, I think. And, you know, even in my own use of online dating apps, like I'm very conscious now, whereas in the past I'd be conscious of trying to get likes. Now I'm very conscious, like, do I really want a lot of likes, or do I want the right type of like,
sort of quality over quantity?
And and one of the things I realized in Hinge as well, specifically, and I'm not sure if it's because of the algorithm, but ever since I started actually reading every profile, looking through it, and actually ironically, now that I don't like a lot of profiles, only very selectively, I get way more matches. And I think that promotes my...
This is very true. So this is how, even though a lot of these platforms are not very open about how the algorithm works, based on, you know, research that people have done and users' feedback, what people understand about these algorithms is that it's kind of like a credit score system, where first of all, the more you use it, the more like, and the more you're engaging with the platform, the more hits you're going to get. And then second of all, depending on like how much content you put on it, the more hits you're going to get. But like it's kind of learning your behavior based on like what you're putting on there.
Yeah.
But again, it's like not very clear how, like what that means. Like how is that still selecting the best potential?
I mean, there's an issue with this more generally when you look at the algorithms and a lot of the debates around like the psychology of dating, where you get these debates between like psychologists and people working for dating companies. And the psychologists are actually saying, well, but ultimately they won't show us their algorithms. They won't show us their data. So, you know, they publish these claims, but no one can pick apart the claims, you know, and we all know that the only way that science should work is like, or currently works, is sort of through peer review, people being able to see what you've done and then judge whether it's valid.
Yeah.
It's interesting how many claims are being made by these companies who are having a real impact on our life. Like I think, you know, US data, it's like 20% of heterosexual couples and 2/3 of same-sex couples in the United States met online. And yet we don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think it's something like 200 million people use a digital dating service every month, you know, and that's a lot. That's a big number. And you're right, there should be some transparency around that. But funny, you know, I've been experimenting with these algorithms that we've been talking about and, you know, seeing what works and trying to figure out how it works. And like, it's funny because in the past, you know, we would talk about this off air, but, you know, like the past, the fear was like, you know, asking someone out and being rejected. Now I have to worry about algorithms and how to play the algorithm to get in someone's, like, you know, in their line of sight. So it's interesting how the whole dynamic around dating has changed.
Yeah, so like on OkCupid, which is a platform I use, you get like a percentage match score based on the questions you've answered. And when I first started, I'd only look at the sort of, you know, 97, 98% and above. And I've now like moved that down to like 90 because actually, like, there's a lot of things. I really don't care if I don't have the same music taste with someone or the same, you know, like, taste in movies. Like, I'm more bothered about, like, values. Yeah. And I actually find, like, 90%, and that's something that I've learned through, like, using the platform for only 2 months now. Mm. But the, you know, the 90% mark is about where I can know that person probably has the same views of politics and feminism.
So,
and like
so
that,
would you
me.
Use, so jumping off that, would you use a niche dating website? I mean, Hinge is a fairly open one for a lot of people. Would you use a niche one like, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example that isn't Toffee. Would you use it?
Toffee.com.
Yeah, so would you use a niche one, like an Asian dating site?
No. Yeah. I don't really have like a racial preference, like, you know, and I generally live a very sort of culturally diverse life. So I wouldn't want to narrow down who I'm dating by like cultural background.
So, you know, there's apps like Shardy.com
is like Indian background. And the thing that really creeps me out about Shardy.com is a parent can set up your profile
that
there.
Is
and it can be like
fucking terrifying.
It can be publicly seen that it is like so and so's mother running this profile.
Wow. Yo, listen, that's very appealing. As a man, what I want to see is someone's mum sit up there, and as a woman, no doubt, you don't want to see that, do you? That's not appealing at all.
But here's the thing, right? With the niche platforms or the questions that some platforms ask you, again, is feeding. If you think about it on an individual user level, it's then telling you that you can find someone who ticks all your boxes.
Mm. Yeah.
Realistically, okay, how realistic do you think that is? Because again, I have met a lot of people who think that because of the availability of apps, you can literally find that person that you've pictured in your head. But people are so different.
But
and you can't...
I think it depends on how you use it. And I'm not entirely convinced that that has necessarily changed because of online dating. I think there's always been people who have got like a tick box of what they want. You know, that's sort of the stereotypical, like, I want a man who's 6 foot and, you know, who's got blue eyes, who's got, I'm now just starting to move into like eugenics, but, you know, who's like, I can't see. So I started... So it sounded quite like eugenics here, but like, you know, who's got a degree or who's a doctor, blah, 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 blah. And I think it comes down to who you are as a person. Like, I've never been that person offline and now online. So like on OkCupid, you can set, like, for every question, you can say how much you care about it.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, you know, whether a guy thinks mansplaining is a thing, I'm like, very important. You know, if they like going to gigs, I don't really care, you know. And
but the thing, okay, so the reason I'm bringing up this point is because going back to Jack Turban's article and the work that he did, he talks about he then talked to people on the platform and some of the users, like, they go on, okay, a lot of users say on platform, he did this on Grindr, which is like mostly used for sex. And people, what he found is some people, obviously people love it and it makes it easy to find sex. But then one aspect he talks about, it then makes it hard because it's so easy, it makes it hard to stop.
Yeah.
And then there's other users who just go on there because they're in a big city, but they're lonely. Mm. And they're just going on there to just feed that, or like kind of because of their loneliness and anxiety and sadness. And it's just because they want to stop feeling bad because it gives them a little bit of tension for that time you're engaging with the platform. And then like there's people who go on dates or like go on hookups. And then if it's not, say on the dating front, if it's not what they're looking for, or if it's...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Doesn't go well, they feel bad about themselves, and you come home and you're licking your wounds, and then suddenly you can go straight back on the platform.
Yes, I do.
You know, yeah. And then, like the people said, they find themselves in a constant cycle.
Yeah,
and then that is then starting to, and then they get so fed up of it, they delete the app, then they leave it for a while, they re-download the app, and it's a constant cycle, which is then negatively impacting their mental health. And so that's adding a level of complexity.
I think the point you're going to make is, isn't it that that's the normal thing anyway?
But I was going to say, is that any different from how we use other social media? Like, you know, does this only apply to sort of sexual encounters and romantic relationships? Or is it also true of how we use Twitter, how we use Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook? You know, you go on because you're feeling a bit bored, because you're lonely, because you want to, you want that, you know, moment of connection. And delete the app. Yeah. So you're like, okay, I'm going to stay off it for a bit. And then you go back on again.
I think it speaks to human nature, because you're saying, what you're saying process is the process of dating before apps. Because you'd go out with someone, you go on a few dates. It wouldn't go well, whatever. You break up, take a little bit of time, and then you get back in the game. Yeah, so
but it's more in. It feels more instant now.
I think the process has been sped up.
The process has been sped up. The whole process has been streamlined in the sense that you meet people quicker and they in and out of your life much faster.
Also find like the negative like side of rejection feels like it's been sped up for me. And I like that's been a massive positive. Like, you know, I mean, you guys know this, like in the past when I've been rejected sort of in real life, like it's sometimes taken me weeks to like basically stop crying. And like now it feels like, maybe partly because I'm normally chatting to a few people at once, like it feels less of a gut wrench. And then also I think that like positive feedback stuff isn't all bad. I think there is something quite nice about knowing that, you know, people are interested in you. Like, especially, you know, I have had really shit luck with my love life, and I've always sort of questioned whether I'm ever going to find anyone. And yeah, I don't know whether online dating will be the answer. To be honest, at the end of the day, I'm happy single, but it's also nice to know that I'm not a complete lost cause.
Listen, no. Hannah, you're a beautiful lady. And
thank you.
A very good catch for any lucky man.
I'm just going to put it out there, jumping in quickly, that all three of you have spent, you know, the time recording pretty much stating your indirectly your criteria for dating on various.
Yeah, listen, whoever's listening, if you meet my criteria, just fucking get at me.
Yeah, because if you see,
also, you know what apps we're on.
My criteria is very low, just to put out there. It's, all right, you just have to be
actually. If any of you do end up with one of these hosts, I will consider it like the best use of social media. Like, honestly, that is. I don't care the retweets. If some of you get laid, that's
this
magic.
This is just get why not a doc laid episode. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This is not that at all. Honestly, even though I agree with your point, Hannah, I think there is also a very negative side to that, because again, maybe it's a big city thing, or maybe I haven't quite worked out. I've been thinking about this for a long time. I haven't worked out if this is a big city thing or it's because there are so many apps now. It definitely feeds that. Yeah, it's great if you have been rejected to just jump back on it just to make yourself feel a little bit better. But then it's also feeding that, oh, it's fine because there's always going to be somebody else. And I don't think that's a useful thought process to have if you're seriously trying to find someone to date and to like have a life with, you know?
No, I agree with you to a degree. But I think ultimately that, you know, you've got to kiss a few frogs to get where you want to be. And if you can, you know, get through that process quickly and, you know, be like, I think dating lots of different people is good, actually, in the sense that it gives you a better idea of what is good for you as a person. and you're able to cross things, tick things off the list and understand what's going to make a good relationship.
I was like, I do feel like in the last, like, 2 months of being on OkCupid, I've learned more about what I want than I have in like the decade before. Just by, there is something about that, those numbers and being able to, you know, like actually think about, there are things that I thought would be deal breakers that I'm like, actually, no, I don't really care about that as much as I thought I would. And then, you know, like, for example, I always thought that I would really want to be with someone who liked science and knew about science. And I'm just like, actually, no, like, that's nice, but it's not essential. There are plenty of other things I'm interested in, and there are enough people in my life that I can talk to about science. Like, but, you know, conversely, there are things that I hadn't thought about that I'm like, actually, I really care about that.
What are they in detail?
Six pack.
And now you've reached.
Actually, like one of the things that I always was like, you know, I'm not like, it's sort of a slight snobbish thing. I always thought that reading wasn't that important for me. Like as in I like reading, but I was like, I don't really, you know, there's many reasons people, but actually like I want someone who's an avid reader like that, which is not something that I had thought about before.
Do menus count? I'm just joking. I'm making a joke.
Like, I had someone show up to a date recently and I was like sat reading when they walked up to me and they didn't ask me about the book. And like, that actually, I was a bit like, that's weird.
Do you reckon?
Like, it's such an easy conversation starter to be like, good. Oh, what are you reading?
Yeah, that's,
you
know? That's a good point.
So I am hoping there are at least 70 to 80% of the audience just frantically scribbling down everything Hannah says.
Must read books.
Are you suggesting something about the gender split of our audience?
No, anyone can find you attractive.
I mean,
right?
Again, I'm going back to my point about making it so niche that it's only feeding this notion that you're going to find the exact type of person you want to find.
Yeah.
But you were talking about a different, a very interesting niche dating app.
It's one that we did a story on a while back, which was a dating app called Toffee, which is a dating app for people who only went to private school. So this is where it gets in the realm
of classist dating app.
Well, you could say that, but what the founder Lydia Davis argues that, you know, kind of what we've been talking about is you want to kind of whittle it down and find people who you have commonality and experience in your life, and sometimes those identifiers that, I know it seems silly, but that can actually be the precursor to a lot of other things that you have in common. You know, if you like salad, then you like salad cream. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like,
hold on, that is not true. Salad cream is the actual worst.
I don't know. Salad cream is not. It's another story.
Balsamic vinegar is clearly better than salad cream.
Salad cream, by the way, was invented to substitute mayonnaise during World War II. Anyways,
facts.
What's it made from?
It's the same thing, but they use less oil or fat to make it.
Less eggs. No eggs.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I spent way too much time reading about sources on Wikipedia. Which is weird, I know. But the point is that these things, these identifiers, whether you're like, you know, single Muslim, whether you're on this private dating website or whether even gaydar, there's certain breadcrumbing, there's certain, you know, identifiers that help people narrow down that pool of potential people they have to wade through, frogs they have to kiss to find the one, right? So I understand their kind of perspective, but at the same time, you could say it is quite classless, isn't it, in a way? And that's where it starts to verge in the area of, is this a good or bad thing?
It goes one step beyond just being classless, though, because that's like a subset of like upper middle class and upper class. You know, like there are plenty of people who are well off who choose not to send their children to private school because they don't think that people should be socially segregated. So you've got really quite narrow pool there of people.
No, I think, you know, it does strike me as slightly elitist. And you know, someone like me, I don't think I fare very well on the app, even if I did go to private school. But, you know, I think, should people be allowed to do that if they want? Well, you could frown on it, but if that works for them, then...
I think maybe it's amplified with a platform like that because you're actively saying this is for this type of person.
Yeah.
It's no different on any other platforms. For example, right? Okay, take Grindr, for example. It's a platform that you can filter by the regular stuff that you want to like filter for, like whether it's age or whether it's like how far away they are. I think that's a filter. I don't know. I deleted it a while ago. But then there's other, okay, there's like body type, then there's race. Okay. So then it gives you.
You can filter by race.
You can filter by race. Yeah. And this has been a, again, I'm saying this based on when I used it. I don't know if it's since changed.
Yeah.
But because like the race thing has been a particular issue for that.
Point, yeah.
Yeah. For this platform, because it allows people, first of all, because you're sitting behind the screen, again, as much as it allows you to have a conversation with someone without having to go and meet them, it then allows you to say whatever the fuck you want to them without thinking twice, because you're as far as you're concerned, you're just engaging with your phone. It's a device. It's lifeless. You forget.
It's a physical barrier between you and the person.
Right. So you forget that there's this person on the other side with feelings who is a human person.
It's true. It's true. I think I get that a lot in a way as well, in the sense that, you know, for example, Asian men in particular are not sexualized in a way.
So I think it's black women and Asian men are the least likely to be matched with on any dating site.
There you go. So, and as soon as someone sees my name, like Suhail Patel, you know, it's like, I think in my head, I'm like, how many people see that and have a certain impression of who I am without even, like, even looking at my profile? And, you know, that is, I think that there is a problem in that, but whether that's like something, that's just people's ignorance, isn't it? And you can't stop that.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you're then actively, so it becomes a problem when you then bring in the fact that some of these platforms have algorithms. So if if it's actively learning that, say, your profile or my profile based on my name, or like my name or your name, or the color of our skin, is getting less, say, clicks, or like people are assuming things about us based on our skin color or appearance or name, it is then learning, presumably, I don't know, presumably it's learning that this is not an ideal beauty standard. So it's then starting to shift what is beautiful, what is desirable, and it's then starting to put you, based on this like credit rating system, lower on the list, and other people who are getting more clicks higher on the list, regardless of who you are and how interesting you are and like what you have to offer.
Yeah. And maybe that's a flaw in the software, in the algorithm, along with how people in our own biases, you know, we were talking about this last week, and our own biases, how we see other people. But, you know, again, that comes down to a lot of it is human error, isn't it?
So OkCupid actually did some research into race on their platform back in 2014. And they found, so that, yeah, black women and Asian men, this is for straight users, were bottom for matches. So this is the thing. It said, so OkCupid said all Asian, but when I've actually like dug into it, it's like when you break it out, it's East Asian are the bottom. But they compared 2009 and 2014 data, and they found that there was actually no change in behavior. But yet when people were asked to disclose their preference in 2014, people said they had a lot less, which actually, like, for me, I feel like that is quite a nice measure of the world, that people want to be more woke but have not actually changed at all. But they claim to have changed quite a lot of things on the site to make that less of a thing. So they've actually bigged up what they call psychographics, so the values you have in common and stuff as part of the algorithm. And they have pulled down like demographics, so race, age. And I've actually noticed that OkCupid brings up people outside of the age range that I've like said I you know want, if they're like high enough of a match with me on other stuff, which is interesting, because I think it gets you to think like, oh, maybe this should be wider. Or
I think you're right, there's sometimes you go into these things with preconceptions, don't we?
And so I feel like the apps need to change. Like,
the thing is, the apps need to change, but are the apps going to change if the algorithm's just learning
from people
and is making their app like used more? They're not deliberately going to make their algorithm woke enough for the world, are they? They're just going to think about how much more money they can make from people using it, right? And so things like, as much as people have good intentions to change, like want to change the fact that there's racism, like for in the gay world especially, right, based on experience, and you can find tons of stuff online where people do say similar things, where some races are hypersexualized, some races are desexualized, and it's just based on long-standing, just like propagated negative stereotypes through the years.
Yeah.
That people have these images or like thoughts about what, how you might behave, how you might talk, what sex acts you might be willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane that this is in this day and age, we're still thinking that way. And people will still ask you those questions because they're behind the safety of their phone or their computer or whatever, you know? And like, even in, like in 2015, there was this survey that was done in Australia and 96% of, I think it's Grindr users said that they have encountered a profile with racist content. Sometimes it's very like subtle, sometimes very obvious, sometimes it's like whites only. Like I have seen that. Sometimes it's you know, not into Asians, and they just think they're just being very subtle about it.
Producer comment, what was that first word or the first phrase?
Whites only.
Like a fucking water fountain in the 60s.
This is exactly it. Like this, that people think it's okay to put this stuff online.
I've literally had guys who have like sent me a message and then I look at their profile and it's got like, I would only want to have children with someone with the same race, like somewhere buried in there. I'm like, fuck off. What is wrong with you?
And people are weird and stuff.
You know, and so then it opens up this debate, right? Okay, so if you can separate, again, like let's go back to the Grindr example. And Grindr, one of the key filters you can get is like what sexual position you're willing to take during sex, right? Whether it's like your top, your bottom, or versatile. To some people, this is very important because it changes the way they have sex. Okay, so I get that. But then you could extend that debate to, okay, but then if I have a racial preference, how is that any different?
I think that that's the moral equivalence. It's not the same thing.
For me, like, there's almost like a societal issue.
Yeah.
Like, right, where like, and I think this goes back to Toffee, that there is something very, very worrying about the idea that the people who hold the most privilege in this country and the most wealth in this country self-segregating.
They were condensing that.
Yeah.
Power.
And I think the same thing, like, there's a societal like thing about people having racial preferences. But then I think there's also this like personal thing of, well, if people feel that way, they can just fuck off and I don't really want to.
But here's the thing with that. On going back to that original survey I was talking about, there were a lot of people who are of minority ethnic background who talk about how the constant rejection then also affects their mental health, right? And just looking at mental health amongst gay men, it's like as high as 52% of gay men, you know, according to Stonewall, suffer from some kind of mental health because of rejection from a very early age. Carrying that in then to your adult life is only going to make things worse.
Yeah.
So then the use of these platforms make your mental health even worse.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
people are allowed, based on their preferences within quotation marks, to say stuff like this to you online.
Yeah. You know? Which is not cool. No, totally. And I think, you know, it's the apps need to do something about it, but also people need to stop being dickheads, basically.
So here's the thing. So apps do, so you said OkCupid still shows you stuff outside, right? So Grindr knows that this is a problem. And so I think one of their spokespeople last year, they launched this campaign called Kinda Grindr, where they said they would actively do stuff to, you can complain if there's racist stuff and we will remove those profiles, right? But then when they were asked if they would remove the race filter, they refused to do that. And their explanation for this was that people of similar race will use that filter to seek other people who are also gay and that race. To me, this is a white person who said this, okay? To me, as a user or a previous user of Grindr and a person who has engaged with many different gay communities, I will tell you this is bullshit. I have never used this app to actively seek out someone who is like me, okay? Because no, that's not what you use the platform for. So using that as a, like, we're trying to help people of color to meet each other. No, you're not. You're not helping.
Yeah.
Also ties in with all, you know, the conversations I think we might have had on the podcast or offline in the past about like how few people of color are out.
Right. Because of these behaviors, because you can, like, for example, again, I can draw from personal experience and from other people I've spoken to. Coming out is a very difficult experience for anybody, right? But then it's an added layer of complexity when you're a person of color, because you're leaving your culture, your religion, or like turning your back on all that to enter this new community. who then, if they go on to reject you, it's doubly like hurtful, and then you just don't know where you belong. And that is one of the reasons why people of color don't engage with like.
Do you feel like these apps, then these dating apps, and this is a conversation that's happening in social media as well, have a duty of care to the people who use them? Because, you know, we've heard about social media, Instagram, people, you know, even going as far as killing themselves over that stuff. Do you think like these apps then maybe you need to have more responsibility in how the users kind of act on them?
You know, I think there is a very big difference between having a racial preference, you know, which you can... I mean, my person is like, keep it to your fucking self. Like, you can see someone's photo and decide. Like, you know, there's a but there's a big difference between the impact of other people of you just feeling that way and not matching with them, and putting no, you know, whites only on your freaking profile. Yeah. Like,
let's flip it for a second. What if someone had a preference for, you know, they let's say if it's a white person who only likes brown people. What's that situation?
That really creeps me out.
You think that's like a fetishizing?
Not seeing me as a person. Like, I got a message this week which was like, I'm looking for a Desi girl.
Yeah.
I should probably define Desi because I realized that I use that a lot and my best friend did not know what that
was. It's like this, Desi.
Desi is the collective term for people of South Asian descent.
Quick one on fetishization. University. Yeah, someone who was on my course got drunk, came up to me and was like, oh, I've never been... She was eating cereal at the time with a teaspoon, trying to be very seductive.
never hot. A good look.
That's hot.
Yeah, no, I was like, that's a completely wrong implement to use
spoon.
For that size of Cheerios. But she was like, oh, I've never been with a black man before. And the only response I had was, neither have I.
Apart from that's an excellent response.
That's a good response.
I mean, yet.
Hey, life's long. You got time.
Yeah, no, I get a lot of guys sliding into my DMs assuming I'm gay.
He says, as a person who actually did slide into my DMs and thus started this friendship.
That was
two
my
years
entire
ago.
Fault, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay,
I'll take responsibility.
So, anyway, Hannah, you were saying about fetishization of yourself.
Thanks, Alex, for that brilliant intro. It's not nice. It creeps me out.
Really?
On that side of things, you're then reducing this person to just one thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not saying, personally, I have no preference. Like, I'll date anyone, like, you know.
But that's the thing. The problem there is then the way you look at people as like if they're not white, then if they're of a certain race,
yeah,
they must sexually be this way or another. Either they're like sexually not desirable or they're hypersexualized or... You know, you really want to
maybe just like to just like, you know, my chocolate complexion. You know what
but
I mean?
That's weird to me. Like,
yeah,
to say that out, to actually disclose that, to think that is an okay thing to say, it says a lot to me about a person.
It's going back to what I said at the end of the day. You're forgetting that that is a person, and you can't just
I feel the same if someone like approached me and said the reason they wanted to be with me was my body type. Like, you know, it's just
But what if that's one element of the reason? What if they say, "Oh, I like people who look, let's say, Turkish," but then, you know. But also, I like your personality. I think it's a bit more. I think we should be a bit more generous to people.
I think you're right. I think there's nothing. No one's saying it's like wrong to have like types.
Yeah.
I just feel like keep it to yourself.
That's the thing.
You shouldn't be the first thing. It should be if it's part of the pack. I mean, you know,
Think about how externalizing that and voicing that. How does that come across and how does that make people feel?
It's completely
fine to like
to flip this a little bit. Like, one of the things plenty of people have told me is the reason why I'm single is because I'm mixed. Like, they've gone, oh, you're too white for Asian guys and you're, you know, too Asian for white guys, and that always made me feel shit because that's like, I can't change that. Like, it's a bit too late.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing is that eventually the person who will appreciate that about you you'll meet them. And those people who, you know, who think like that,
but like, I don't want someone to appreciate the fact I'm mixed. I want them to not care.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I get you. As in, it's only that's only a vain thing, isn't it? It's only about how you look or how you come. I don't know how to describe it. Does it make sense?
I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, it's sort of not the most interesting thing about me. Mm. So one of the reasons that psychologists have like suggested for racial preferences on dating apps is the way that people of different racial backgrounds are portrayed on popular media, so on TV and film, and that, you know, for example, that Asian men are quite often desexualized in popular culture.
I'd just like to say I'm a sexy motherfucker.
Thank you, Sahil. And that, you know, black women are quite often just the like feisty sidekick rather than playing, you know, an actual love interest. And this has been sort of all over social media recently because there are quite a few misleading headlines and tweets about a new rom-com TV series, I think, with starring Susan Wacoma, who's an amazing black actress and comedian, and Ronnie Cheng, who is a actor of East Asian descent. I was saying this, you know, could actually be revolutionary. And then you actually, like, you know, click onto the articles, you read it, and no. The main couple are a white couple, and Ronnie Cheng is playing the guy's awkward best friend, and Susie Wacoma is playing the girl's best friend and is going to, like, you know, keep cheering her on and stuff.
All right, so moving on from that, our very quiet host and producer did this amazing thing where he asked people who listen to this podcast what their worst dating stories are, and we are going to go into some of them. All right, so I'm just scrolling through some of the stuff that people sent us. This is interesting. One guy told me that he once met an elephant and it was disappointing. It was our first and only date.
If anyone ever told me that animals were disappointing, it would be our last date.
It's like, why do you hate elephants, man?
Here's a really good one. Someone, his name was Michael, on Hinge, once said, "Hi, Annie." This is someone who's called Annie. When my name was at the top of the chat, I said, "That's not my name." And he said, "I thought we were on nickname basis." So I said, "Thanks for whitewashing my name, Muhammad."
All right. At Anu Like Stars said, "Someone I was seeing for a bit a few months ago asked me if I'd call him my Scandinavian prince." What? No, that can't be. That's obviously true.
It's very specific, God. Isn't it?
Yeah. God, let me tell you.
Let me tell you. He involved two pieces of Roddy.
No, actually, not in bed. But when I was in Cambridge, when I used to live there, there were some creepy encounters that I had. One was where someone had seen me online and was trying to talk to me because they wanted sex, and I politely declined. And then he saw me at a bar one night, and he just kept coming to me, and he kept saying, "I really like you." And I was like, "Thank you, that's really nice." But then he kept going, "But I like your skin." And then at that point I was like, "Oh, this is getting a bit creepy.
This is my skin."
Yeah. It's like,
and then he's
like, "No, you know, you're really, you know, you're really nice and brown." And I was like, so, "Okay,
your skin would make a lovely handbag."
And no, then it at that point I was very creeped out. But then he said, "You know, because you're brown and I'm white, and you know, you guys look for white boyfriends, don't you?" And I was like, "Okay, this conversation is over.
Okay, see you later."
And that was like the creepiest encounter one of the creepiest encounters I've ever had.
That is really creepy.
Yeah. And he
I
just genuinely believed
in prison right now.
He just genuinely believed that was a thing. That was really disturbing.
I've also got a funny story. So basically, I went on a date quite a long time ago, probably like 7-8 years ago, and I ended up with me in a red bikini by the end of the date. And
please do tell us more.
Please do tell. Well, it was a cold, hot summer's evening. I went to this fancy art exhibition with this girl. She invited me, actually, and one of our mutual friends was working there. And he was like giving us free drinks all night and stuff. So I was a little bit wasted by this point. And one of the exhibitions was like a piece of interactive art. So you go in this little cubicle, you take a picture in a bikini, and then you get to keep the bikini. And then she uses that picture as part of a big collage to show diversity in like human, you know, figures and all that. But hashtag body positivity, etc. And then my date Charlotte, she was like, oh, she didn't want to do it. Me having a great idea, I was like, oh, you know what? I'll do it. So I go in there. I've never worn a bikini at this point, I may add. So it didn't go very well. I had it the wrong way up. For one thing.
What?
I had it the wrong way up. So I had like the bra, it was all fucked up. And I had grey socks on at the same time. So I took the picture. Bikini was a bit too small. But I took the picture. I got the bikini, put my clothes on. I took it to Charles, like a great hunter gatherer. I was like, here's your bikini. Here's your bikini I provide as a male provider. And all went well. And then the next morning, I log into Facebook. You know, I had a mutual friend at the thing. This motherfucker went up to the lady afterwards, got the photo, upload to Facebook, tagged me in it. I had like 100 notifications in the morning. And the funniest part is the hair on my chest had, the bikini had like pinched the hair to a point where it almost looked like the Batman symbol. So I looked like Batman in a red bikini.
Oh my God.
With grey socks on. It was great. So it's, if you
again,
can...
With the mental pictures that you're painting.
Do you know what? If you can find that picture, I'd untag myself straight away. But if you can find that picture, please send it to me because I fucking love that story. It's hilarious.
Right. So based on our conversations, what are you guys still going to keep using apps? You're still not used to it?
I'm still not sure whether I'll stick with it. Like, it's only been 2 months.
I think you know, they're a useful tool, and it's like anything, it's how you use it. If you use it for the wrong reasons, then, you know, you're not going to get good results.
What about Alex? What do you think as a person who's never used one of these apps?
To my long-term partner, I love you very dearly. thank you for loading the dishwasher when I guess it wrong.
Which is all the time, I hear.
Yes. No, but I think realistically, I think it must be really, really difficult because you really put yourself out there in like a digital plane. Mm. And I think the idea of like digital you versus real you, it can see like where that line gets blurred and you start wondering, is it digital me? And if I, you know, like you guys are all saying, if I manage to get them in the room with me, would it be better? So I think that's it. I think the digital you must be like, it must be really difficult trying to consolidate that and like have a presence in both worlds.
But no, I feel like the stigma's disappearing. Like, I personally don't feel any shame about it, which I think I wouldn't have previously felt.
I think I will continue to use apps, but I've definitely become a lot more conscious about how I use them and hopefully use them in the right way so that, you know, I actually can meet someone who is going to be a good match for me.
Producer note, if you want to hit up these guys, you can do it on...
OkCupid.
I am on Hinge, and that's about it. I'm only on Hinge.
On Twitter and Instagram.
So
my Twitter DMs are probably open.
And then you can slide into Oz's DMs. Shoot your shot.
Well, we've come to the end of the podcast. So, folks, be safe out there and date, but date carefully and... cleverly. I'm trying to say something meaningful.
Bye.
See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.